What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome, welcome. Man, here I go again. I am stuck in the intro, man. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's David and Isaac. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. So, you know, I assume Grizz Nation is listening as well as some other folks because it's draft coverage, one of our favorite times of the year. We're a little bit behind, man. Our schedules have been bonkers, and I didn't even know if we were going to be able to get it in tonight. It's happening. Here we are. We are definitely wanting to get more of these done, and we're going to, but work schedules have been nuts lately. So we got four new prospects for you tonight. We're going to lead off with one that the Grizzlies worked out. We're going to try and give you as many of these as we can as they're working people out and we're getting the information. One that the Grizzlies worked out, then we're going to talk about Dariq Whitehead. We're going to talk about Anthony Black. We're going to talk about, man, I don't even know. I have no idea. Grady Dick. I'm losing it, man. It's just one of those days.
Yeah, Jaquavion Smith is the other one.
Yeah, I'm having the Mondayest of Mondays, man. I know y'all don't care, but I'm gonna tell you about it anyway. I've had terrible luck with vehicles lately. I had a small SUV that I was driving for work. Spent a boatload of money trying to get it fixed, and then like after I spent all this money getting it fixed, not even a week later, it messed up on me again, and it was something different. So I bought a different vehicle, not really wanting to spend the money on a new vehicle. And now I had to drop that vehicle off at the shop today. I don't know, man. I'm ready to just throw a grenade in it and walk away, bro. It's nuts. So great Monday for me. Got a lot of stuff going on. This is good, though. Basketball is my escape when life is crazy. When I have just chaos around me, I can go to basketball and it helps kind of settle me in. So, Isaac, I'll let you lead off. Tell us about, man, I struggle with his last name. You got it knocked out.
Yeah. Charles Bediako.
Seven foot from Alabama. Go ahead.
Yeah. 7 foot, 225 pound, sophomore center out of Alabama. 6.4 points, 6 rebounds, 1.8 blocks. I'm sure David loves this. 35.5% from the free throw line. Shot 62 free throws, only made 22 of them. Didn't play a whole lot of minutes, only played about 20 minutes per game. As the old saying goes, man, he's 7 foot tall, man. You can't teach height. That's a positive coming out of the door, coming out of the gate at 7 foot. Not a whole lot to his game. At this point, pretty much everything's at the rim. Matter of fact, 95% of his field goals last season were at the rim. He finished at a 68% rate. Does a really good job of moving and making himself available as the roller pop man, finishing at the rim. That's what he does, man. He knows his role, sticks to it. Also, cleans up a lot of misses, gets a lot of putbacks, gets a lot of scores that way. Can run the floor and finish. He's a guy that if you're a team that gets up and down, man, he can be available for that pass, man. Gets up and down the court. He can move a little bit. Like I said, not super heavy at 225 pounds. So he can definitely run the floor and finish at the rim. Defensively, definitely has some potential as a shot blocker, rim protector, averaged 2 blocks per game at Alabama. And when you look at these kind of some of these guys that the Grizzlies are working out, I think they're kind of doing their due diligence. They do have 2 picks in the second round, but you also have the 3 two-way spots now with the new CBA starting next year. So I think a lot of these guys they're kind of looking at as second-round draft prospects or possibly undrafted free agents. And I like Bediako as a developmental big. I think a guy that you can put in your system, maybe send down to South Haven, let him get some work in down there. But he's just a guy that knows his role, comes in, runs the floor, cleans up misses, dunks, finishes at the rim. And I mean, that's a lot of times, man, you don't need any more than that. For a guy that comes off the bench, can take up some space for you, extra fouls, kind of be tough inside, block a couple of shots. He's a guy that I think finds a spot in the NBA, because if you kind of look at this draft, if you're looking for a true center, there's not a lot out there. You have obviously Victor Wembanyama at the top, and I wouldn't necessarily even call him a true center, but you have James Nnaji. He's a European prospect that I really like. A couple other guys, Bona, Sanogo out of UConn, Derek Lively out of Duke, but there's not a lot of options as true centers in this draft. Ron Holmes is another guy that's kind of a 4-5 that I guess I threw in a mix that I like, has some shooting potential. Definitely going to talk about him down the line. He's a prospect that I like. But a guy like Bediako could end up being drafted, I think, somewhere in the second round, because there just isn't a lot of true centers in this draft. I mean, like I said, he's a guy that knows his role. You're not going to get a lot from him outside of the paint. No, not really a guy that's going to knock down a mid-range jump shot or shoot from the perimeter or anything. He's just going to be a guy that comes in, takes up space on the inside, block a couple shots, finishes at the rim, things like that. And there's space for guys in the league like that. So as a guy, if you're talking about the pick at 56, if he's there, or possibly undrafted free agent, I mean, he's a guy that I would definitely have some interest in as a developmental big for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I agree, man. Listen, if you haven't listened to the show, and I kind of have this spiel every time that I talk about it, I hammer on free throws. That's something that's important.
He's really bad.
Yeah, if you can't make free throws down the stretch, you cannot be on the floor to close the game. And where he's getting drafted, you're not looking at this guy to be your starting center.
Exactly.
Just like Isaac said, developmental center. You talk about the size, the length. You can't teach 7 foot. He being a 7 footer, he's going to have to put some more weight on to really be able to be down low and be on the boards and put in work against some of the NBA bigs. But it's one of those things where you look at the body, you look at the frame, and it's like, okay, can this kid put on weight on this frame and be effective at the NBA level? And I think looking at his game and the stuff that he does, he reminds me more of like that old school big that's being phased out. You know, you look at guys like DeAndre Jordan, elite rebounder, good shot blocker, but nothing outside of the paint. Like he right now, without any development, this kid is just like in the dunker spot, essentially. Like that's what he's going to be. And he does that well. Do you believe in the rest of his physical tools enough to go out and get him and take a shot? The Grizzlies have been really good at developing talent. But if I'm going to take a shot at on a big man late, like, you know, second round area where the Grizzlies have pick, I like Armando Bacot out of North Carolina over this kid. And I haven't really, you know, like we haven't talked about him yet. I'm sure that we will get to him. But I just like his skill set compared to where we're at with Bediako. And that's, again, I'm never like just has there been anybody that there's been guys where I'm like, nah, I'm just flat out. I don't want the Grizzlies to draft him. And the free throw stuff scares me. Steven Adams is the guy that is incredibly important to this Grizzlies team. But down the stretch, you can't play him because if you do, teams are going to foul him. And then you're going to be relying on Steven Adams, who is a 50% free throw shooter, to not, you know, like you're going to rely on him to knock down free throws. And if you're banking on that to win a game, you're going to be in trouble. And so I definitely see size, frame. I like his footwork. You know, you talked about his shot blocking ability, and I think that his timing, yeah, you have that length, right? 7 foot, you're going to have a big wingspan. You got the length, you're going to block some shots with that. But some guys with that size, Nikola Jokic is a 7 footer. Nikola Jokic is not a shot blocker. He's going to block some shots just because of his size. And this kid, I think that you could put him in the class of he could be a good, maybe great shot blocker. And I base that off of some of the film that I watched and the way that it looked like he was out of the play and he was still able to
recover.
Yeah. Like he used his length, he moves his feet well, and he was able to get himself back into the play. Offensively, he's not going to be a threat from outside of 6 feet. Like I would love to see his shot chart from college, because every basket that I saw this kid finish, he was within, like, I mean, it was a dunk or a layup, a putback. Yeah.
Like there was 95% of his field goals were at the rim. So I don't know if I could find a shot where he took a jump shot. I'd like to kind of look at that and see, like you said. But for me, I just think his potential defensively, like you said, he's definitely the old school type of big. He's not the modern day big that's going to bring you anything outside the paint. I mean, he's just going to be a finisher at the rim, but I think his shot blocking, I just think he's a guy that could, with some development, could carve out a role just as kind of a specialist to kind of come in where you need a guy to take up some space in at the rim. He's got to put on some weight. I mean, 7'2", 225. He's got to have to, with his frame, he looks like a guy that could fill out a little bit more. I think he's a guy that could carry more weight. So I don't have any problem with that. But I just think he's developing, especially if you're talking about undrafted free agent, a guy at 56. I mean, because at that point, you're just taking shots on guys. I hear what you said about Bacon. He's definitely going to bring you more versatility and brings more to the table. But I was just looking at him again as just a possibly develop into a defense specialist, a guy that you can come in and just be tough in the paint, man, defensively block some shots and stuff like that. Because if you're expecting more than that from him, you're probably not going to get it. But free throw thing is definitely a concern, man. You shooting free throws in the 30s, man, you definitely can't be on the floor in a close game late. I mean, you just cannot be on the floor. We talk about Steven Adams shooting around 50%. This kid shooting 30-something percent in college, man. That's not good. I mean, to miss 40 free throws out of 60, out of 60 something, that's pretty bad. So, but again, man, developmental prospect. He's a guy that I'd have on the radar because I think center is a spot that they could use a guy to develop. I think center, probably point guard, and wings are kind of where they're looking to develop some guys. So, interesting prospect, man. I like some of the stuff that I saw on film. I like the length. I like the fact that he's 7 foot tall and. But I like the fact that he's a guy that knows who he is. He's not going to try to come out there and do too much. So we'll see. But again, man, lack of true bigs in this draft. Even most of the bigs that the centers, the guys that are listed at center in this draft, are all undersized as far as height and weight. So he's a guy that could find himself end up getting drafted. He's not really showing up on mock drafts right now, but. With the lack of fives in his draft, I think there's a possibility that you could see he could hear his name called late.
Yeah, and my thing is, when I'm looking at big man prospects, specifically guys that would fall into the class as like the old school big, I look at their footwork and their athleticism. Like, is he an explosive athlete at 7 foot? No, like he's not. But he's not a going back last year. Luka Garza was a guy that didn't, you know, where did he end up going? He went like late 50s, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, and it was all because, like, Garza knew how to score, but he was a slow big man.
Same thing with Edie in his draft. Yeah. I forgot to mention him. He's not even showing up on boards right now, and he was, like, player of the year. And that just kind of shows you the difference. He's so big in college at 7'4". I think he has a 7'10 wingspan that he measured at the combine, which is just – absolutely nuts. But you watch him. I was watching this workout at the combine. I mean, he's just so slow. Like, and it's just not going to play well in the NBA when you have these modern bigs, guys that can move around a little bit. It's just not going to play well. He's going to struggle. It's not going to be as easy to score. I mean, you're just so much bigger than all these, bigger and stronger than these other guys in college. He's just going over the top of everybody. Not going to be as easy when you get into the NBA, man. And that's the reason why you go from a guy being like the player of the year to possibly not even getting drafted. The same thing with Garza. Garza putting up big-time numbers, averaging 26, 27 points in college and get to the NBA, and he's not a guy that's really playing, getting drafted at the bottom of the second round. Just a different ball game, man, when you get to that next level. That you can get away with that in college, but whole other world, man, when you step on that NBA floor.
Yeah, and I like Bediako's foot speed at his size is a guy that I won't say – I guess borderline switchable is kind of the way that I would go. Like,
he's definitely not in quicksand like some of these other guys.
Yeah, like he moves pretty good. Not at an elite level. He's not moving around like Wembanyama, obviously, but he moves around pretty good. He's a guy that, okay, if you take him, there's definitely some upside there on him for sure. So I like that the Grizzlies are trying to address positions of need. That at least tells you, okay, they understand where their weakness is and what they need to look at. And this is a guy, 7 foot, big wingspan, that's going to go out there and be able to grab boards for them. And you need that from a guy off of the bench for this team because rebounding was a I mean, they got wrecked on the boards in the playoffs, and no two ways about it. So let's move on from him. And I didn't write down the order, man. I was busy writing everything. Are we going to Tre'Quavion Smith out of NC State next?
Tre'Quavion Smith next, sir.
Yep. So he is a 6'4" guard out of NC State. And I don't know. Like, he's only going to be 20 on draft night, man. Yeah. As I'm watching his tape and I'm watching what he's able to do, do you think that this kid is lottery talent?
No, I don't think he's lottery talent at all. Tankathon has him going in the second round. Tankathon has been one of the more accurate mocks. I haven't looked to see. That's kind of where the mock that I use the most, so I'm not sure where other mocks have him going. Have you seen him up in the lottery on some mocks?
I've seen him some places, like late lottery, like mid first round.
Yeah,
I like, he has some tools that are good. The size and 6'4" is not small, man. We talk about size a lot, but in this draft in particular, man, there's so many guys that are 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", and he's one of the smaller guys in this class.
Yeah, I was gonna say 6'4", 165 pounds. That's the other part of it. He's slight. I mean, at 6'4", only 165 pounds, that's a guy. He's definitely going to have to put on some weight. I mean, because that's tiny at 6'4", 165 pounds. So he's a lot smaller than a lot of the other kind of guards in this draft. Because you talked about at the top of the draft, you got guys like Amen and Asar, 6'7". And then you talk about Amen as a point guard at 6'7". And Tre'Quavion is not really a true point guard. He's a combo guard, and to me, he's probably more of a shooting guard.
Yeah, and with the size of that frame, you're concerned, okay, are you going to be able to play him at the two next to another small guard? And right now, the answer to that question is no. You know, he doesn't have the strength to be able to match up against a strong two at the NBA level. Like, he can shoot the cover off of the ball. I love his form. I watched plenty of times. One thing that I've been kind of watching for more this year is a change in pace in the way that they release the ball. And what made me do that, I was at a game in Memphis, and Jake LaRavia was out there warming up. And one of the coaching staff, the guy that was working with him on the coaching staff, I didn't realize what he was hollering out at first. And I was sitting next to Doc. I'm like, Doc, what's he saying? He's like, man, I couldn't tell you. I'm watching these cheerleaders. I started laughing. And so we started paying attention to what this coach was hollering out. And the coach was talking about the speed at which LaRavia was releasing the shot. So he would say normal, fast, gather. Yeah, he would have different terms. And you would see LaRavia change the speed of his release during his workout. And when you're watching film on this kid, you can see him changing speeds with his release.
Yeah, he changed the pace. So, really nice.
Yeah. And so as far as a shooter at the NBA level, I could see this kid being a guy coming off of the bench that's going to be able to knock down shots for a team, but he's going to have to add some muscle. At 20 years old, you have plenty of time to add some bulk to that frame and be able to get him where he could be a serviceable defender. But it's going to be, you would have to match him up with a guy that I think is a good defender. You couldn't, as far as a fit with the Grizzlies, I don't think you could play him side by side with Ja, because the defense would not be great. Ja, when Ja is locked in and actually giving effort, Ja has become a serviceable defender in the NBA, but you can't have two guards out there that are just serviceable or you're going to get cooked. And we're not always looking at these guys through the lens of will they fit with the Grizzlies. We're just kind of looking at them in general. And so I like his passing, that he showed some flashes in the film where I'm like, okay, like I can see certain things. But he doesn't feel like a true point guard. He feels more of like the combo / two guard. And because of his size and his lack of strength, I think that he's going to struggle at the NBA level.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that's going to take some time. He's not a guy that's going to come in immediately, I don't think, and be able to play for it. He's probably a guy that's going to need to spend some time down in the G League. You talk about his three-point shooting. The numbers weren't fantastic, 33.6%. That's not terrible, but super high volume. He got up 8 attempts a game. He was 91 of 271 overall. So 271 threes in a college season is a lot, man. Just to kind of go through some of the notes that I had on him. I mean, he's not a super athlete. He does have a little bit of bounce. He's not a terrible athlete, but I wouldn't call him an elite athlete. We talked about the change of pace. He can turn on a dime, man, turn on the jets and get by his man, get to the basket. He definitely has the speed to get to the rim, but problem with that is he doesn't finish well through contact. And if you see that on film in college, it's going to be even worse than the NBA. You talk about that frame at 6'4", 165 pounds, man. He's going to struggle finishing at the rim, and that's one big issue with him, because we talk about him being a combo guard and not a point guard. That's bad at 165 pounds, because again, you're going to be going against bigger players. And that's going to be a problem. He does have a runner that he uses. And I think if he's going to get playing time early, I think that's going to be beneficial for him, because he's going to have a hard time getting all the way to the rim. So I think that runner would do him well if he is able to get some playing time early in his career. He has really nice, good touch on his mid-range pull-up. He can get to it pretty much anytime he wants and doesn't need a lot of space to get it off. So he definitely has that mid-range shot in his bag. You talk about the three-point shooting, 33.6%. Super high volume, though, eight attempts per game. You definitely have to honor him from three. And I think he even has – look at that number at 33.6%. I think he has more upside than that. I think he's a guy that will be able to knock down shots at the next level. Has a nice little crossover, goes left to right, and he uses it to take the step back jump shot. That's kind of an NBA skill. You see a lot of guys do that left-right crossover step back into the three-point jump shot. He has that in his bag. I like his shot mechanics. His shot looks nice, nice form, quick release on his shot. Had a score-first mentality. He doesn't really most of the time look to get others involved a lot, which sometimes bring in question his shot selection. You saw a lot of bad shots. I saw a lot of bad shots that he took on film, like forcing it a lot, shots that he probably should have passed out of, trying to force things. And a lot of that, when you see that with guys, a lot of that has to do with personnel. I mean, a lot of these guys, when you're talking about draft prospects, they're the guy on that team. So they're going to take the shots. I mean, that's what you're going to see. And I saw a lot of it on film, but North Carolina State didn't have a lot of shot creation, shot makers on that team. So, again, he was going to have a high usage, and he was going to be a guy that took a lot of shots. But obviously, man, he's going to have to get stronger, man. 6'4", 165, that's just not going to cut it. And attention to detail, defensively wasn't always there. He got beat on straight line drives a lot, which is weird because he has the foot speed. But you'd see a lot of times where guys would just blow by him, and it's mostly poor technique. He took poor angles. You'd see him standing straight up with bad posture defensively. And the physicality is also an issue. And didn't finish through the rim. We talk about that being slight contact. Only finished 36.5% rate at the rim, which is terrible for a guard. You got to be able to get to the rim and finish, man. And he just doesn't have the size and strength at this point. So, again, man, he's a guy that I think is going to spend wherever he lands, he's going to spend a lot of time on their G League team. I don't think he's a guy that's going to give you much production probably next year, maybe not even a year after that. He definitely has room to fill in his frame. I mean, at 6'4", 165 pounds, he definitely could put some more weight on. I don't think he's ever going to be a big guy or anything, or big and strong, but he's going to have to add up the way you like to see him get up to at least 180, 185 pounds to kind of be able to take more of that contact. So, again, he's a prospect that you're going to be drafting to look at as a guy that you can build on down the line. I don't think you can look at him to give you much next season.
Yeah, I like him as kind of an off-the-bench scorer type person, Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson.
You can put him on the ball a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So I think that brings a little bit of versatility. So that's a positive for him. Again, he just got to get stronger, man.
Yeah, he handles the ball well. You can tell it's not natural for him to look to get others involved. And if you look at his numbers at NC State, you go year one to year two. Year one, he's taken 14 shots a game and 2.1 assists. Year two, you can tell his volume increased 16 attempts a game, but then his assists went up to 4.1. But I think that that is, the 4.1 assist is a little bit misleading, because in the film that I watched, he just, again, it's not a, that's not a natural thing for him.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see that number when I was watching the film. I was like, oh, he averaged 4 assists? That was kind of surprising to me, because watching his film, like you said, you wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely, you can tell that he had pretty much an infinite green light whenever he wanted to take it, like his coach was okay with him taking it. And there were definitely questionable shots. So let's, you got anything on him, anything else on him before we move
on? Yeah, I was just going to say, just like I said, man, I think if you're taking him, he's a lottery ticket type of prospect, and you're looking down the line with him as far, if you're looking for a guy that's going to give you something year one, man, he's not the guy. And like I said, man, you saw him up in the first round. I think Tankathon has him going early to mid second. And I think that's probably where he should be as a prospect, because there are some positives to his game. Like, I like his shooting upside. He can do some things there, but it's just the rest of his game, the physicality that's going to have to match up to that. So he's not a prospect that I think can't do anything. That's why I think he's definitely a guy that's going to get drafted, because if you watch him on film, you see some NBA level skills there. It's just the size, man, that's going to be kind of a drawback for him. So we'll see where he lands, man. But I think for me, he's a second round pick, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I know I've seen him in multiple places be first round. And I think the highest I saw him, I want to say, was like around 15 or 16.
Yeah. That's,
and I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man, about that. And there's way too many guys further down that board that I would take over him. And sure, obviously, fit matters. You know, when you're getting later in the first round, I think the fit kind of, if you're looking, well, the Grizzlies, for example, they have positions of need. And so when it gets to their pick at 25, if they make that pick this year, are they going to take best player available? Or are they going to look more for fit? And at this point, I think that you're looking at more for fit than anything. I'm typically a guy that's like, hey, let's get best player available. But, you know, it's all about position. You know, if best player available is a guy where you've got a ton of depth, I don't know that that's the way that you want to go. So we'll see what happens. So who's up next, Isaac?
Oh, we got Derek Whitehead, 6'6", 190-pound freshman wing out of Duke, 18 years old, 8.3 points, 2.4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Really good three-point shooting numbers, 42.9% from 3 on 4 attempts per game, 79.3% from the free throw line. He was 42 of 98 overall, so not – a huge sample size from three, but really super efficient. Interesting prospect. I kind of liken him to a prospect we talked about on our last show, G.G. Jackson, where there's some really, really positive things that you see on tape, but there's also some negative things that you see on tape. Struggled with some injuries at Duke, had a foot injury, then had a leg injury. So there are definitely some injury red flags with him, but he can really shoot the basketball, as I said, 43% from three, 35 and 79 for 44.3% on catch and shoot jumpers. Kind of a weird release on this shot, but it works. It is kind of a weird release, man, but 42, I'm not going to argue with 43%. Super high release. Closeouts don't really affect the shot. Guys close out, man, he can still get that shot up over him and knocks it down at a pretty high rate. Has really good touch on the mid-range. He has a move where he kind of creates the contact and does this kind of turnaround jumper in the mid post. Real upside is an ISO score. Like I talked about G.G. Jackson, man, he has a lot of stuff in his bag when it comes to one-on-one ISO scoring, man. He can get a shot off, create separation, doesn't need a lot of room to get it off. And he's a much more efficient scorer and shooter than G.G. Jackson. G.G. Jackson takes a lot of shots. He makes some shots, but takes him a lot of shots to get those shots. Whitehead is definitely more efficient. If you look at them, but I kind of compare them as far as their ISO scoring. They both can have a lot in their bag there. Late clock scoring potential, I think, is off the charts. He's the guy that if you need a bucket, you give him the ball, he can go one-on-one, man, and get you a basket. Love his ability to get to the pull-up out of the pick and roll. Is when you look on the other side of the basketball, it's Jekyll and Hyde, man. There's definitely some upside. I think, as an on-ball defender. There are times where he looks like an elite one-on-one defender. He uses his length well to recover when he gets beat. He's physical and strong. But other times, you'll see him really struggle to keep guys in front of him. It's weird because, I see some plays where you watch on film where, man, he looks like a dog on defense. Others, it just looks like he loses focus, man, and just let guys go right by him. And he'll get caught flat-footed, and guys, next thing you know, guys at the rim. He doesn't navigate screens well defensively. That's one thing that really stood out to me on tape. That was glaring that he doesn't do that well. He's not a big-time athlete, so he doesn't finish well at the rim. He only finished at 43.8% out of the half court at the rim, which is pretty bad. He just doesn't have a lot of burst. He's not a guy that's going to take off and dunk on anybody. And I think that's going to limit them. As far as his scoring, as a one-on-one ISO scorer, I love his potential there. But defensively, there's definitely some things to work on. Again, there's times where he looks really well. Other times, I think it's just a lack of focus, because you see times where he can do it. It's just like sometimes I think he just gets lost in the pick and roll and just doesn't really put the effort in on that end. And it's very similar to GG Jackson. Like I said, man, he does some things really well, and then you see some other bad habits and things on tape that don't bode well, and then you also have the injury red flags. So he's an interesting prospect. At one time, he was looked at as possibly a lottery pick, top 10 type pick, and now you see him kind of moving into that mid-first to down into the 20s range. Could be a guy that could be there at the Grizzlies at 25. And again, I'm not sure this is a guy that this front office will look at, just kind of knowing the type of players they like. But he's an interesting prospect.
You high as hell. He's from Duke. I guarantee you.
Well, yeah, I forgot about that connection. As far as Zach Lyman, he does love his Duke guys. No doubt about that. But he's just a Jekyll and Hyde kind of prospect, man. Just like I said about Gigi, I love some of the things he does. And then you look at some other stuff on tape and you're like, man, that's not good, man. What did you think of him as watching him?
Well, the one thing, there is a significant difference. If you go back and you watch him at Mount Verde and you watch some of the plays that he made in high school, you talked about him not really being an explosive athlete. I think these injuries have affected that.
Yeah, the injuries definitely have.
For sure. And I don't think we saw him fully healthy, because there was one play, I want to say I was watching his high school film, and I don't remember what school they were playing, but he's bringing the ball across half court. His defender's in good position, and he hits a cross and just leaves the defender in place, and he explodes from about one step inside the free throw line and throws it down. And so the athleticism has been there. Are the injuries at the point where they completely depleted that? Or is it a thing where, because he hasn't been healthy, we haven't been able to see that? You compared him a lot to GG Jackson, and I'm not there, man. Like, I see why you're making that comparison.
Yeah, not so much that they're the same player, just the fact that
you
see some good stuff and then you see some bad things from him. Because I loved GG at first when I watched him on tape, and the more I watched film, the less I liked him. And that's kind of the same thing with Whitehead. Like, I watched a lot of Duke basketball this year, and I liked him as a prospect, but when I first started watching the tape, like, I loved him. Like, I sent you a text. I was like, man, I love Tariq Whitehead. And then when I watched some of the stuff defensively, I was like, maybe I don't love him as much as I do. I do think the injuries, definitely, because I've seen some stuff from high school that looks a lot different. He wasn't really, I don't think he was ever really healthy all year at Duke. And I worry that maybe it's permanent. Like, it's something that those injuries, that foot injury is kind of some things that have just kind of slowed him down, maybe that he doesn't get back. I'm not sure. He's a prospect that if you take him, you could catch fire and end up with one of the best prospects out of this draft, a little bit lower than he should have been, or it could go the other way. That's kind of how I look at him.
Yeah, the injuries could continue to be an issue. I like him a lot, man. The times when you see him on the defensive end where he's locked in,
yeah,
he shows elite defensive ability. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's an elite defender, because of the reasons that you mentioned. You see him not locked in and looking like a traffic cone on that end of the floor. But there were times in the film where he's matched up against NBA level talent, and you see him locked in and really trying, and he stays in front of the guy that he's guarding, or he uses his quick hand speed and knocks the ball loose and gets out and runs a break. Like, there were a lot of good things defensively that I saw from him. The injuries are obviously a concern, but this was the best high school player in the country last year.
Yep.
The best high, like, you know, won the award. They get to the championship. Kid puts on a show. Like, the physical tools are there. The basketball IQ is there. Is he going to stay healthy enough to grow from where he's at? Are you going to put him in a position where he has the coaching staff around him to get him to go out there and lock in on the defensive end of the floor? There's a lot of questions, but I think if I'm a team in the 20s and this kid falls to me, I'm taking a hard, hard look, because 6 foot, 7 inch wings that can shoot the ball the way that he shoots the ball are not that easy to come by in this league. And I would take a chance, because if he's healthy, I don't think that we're talking about him in the 20s. There's no chance.
No, he's a lottery pick.
Like, he's a top five, probably five to seven guy. And
that's initially where he was before kind of his season at Duke. When you looked at future draft boards before the injuries and stuff, that his season at Duke, he was up there, top five, top eight type draft pick. And he just kind of dropped down, I think, because of some of those concerns. One thing I love about him is he makes tough shots. Like, he's a guy, he's going to be a shot maker. There's no question about that. I'm spooked of injuries, man. Just the Grizzlies' history with guys with injuries. That's why I kind of said I didn't think they would take him. But I do agree with you, man. And as I said a minute ago, that you could end up with one of the better prospects in this draft in the 20s. If you're willing to take a chance on the guy at it, and the injuries aren't something that continue, you could end up with a steal. There's no question about that.
Yeah, you look at I'm looking at the draft order here. The Lakers at 17. You've got LeBron that's still in town, so that this is a guy that, you know, you could, if you take him at 17, you could let him get healthy. You don't have to rush him out there on the floor as the Lakers. If Miami takes him, that's scary season because of the way they're able to take care of talent. Houston at 20, Brooklyn's got back-to-back picks at 21 and 22. You know, that's somewhere where they're kind of going to be competing / rebuilding. They're not going to go full rebuild because of the picks that they had to give up. It would surprise me if he makes it past the Brooklyn Nets at 21-22, just because of...
There's no way they're going to pass on them twice.
Yeah, the physical tools that we're talking about and the flashes, man. He has star potential. Are the injuries going to – is he going to be able to get healthy enough to reach that potential? That's a huge if. You never know that. There are guys that – well, you know, Steph Curry, the reason he fell to where he fell, I think a lot of it in college was because he had issues staying healthy. And then
and people thought he was so small. One of the reasons why people just thought he was too light, and he definitely knocked that out of the park, proved him wrong on that, man.
Well, was able to get healthy. And I mentioned guys, and I'm going to put this disclaimer out every single time that I say this. When I mention guys of that caliber, I'm never saying I expect these prospects to turn into that. I'm just like, that's an example of a guy that there were injury concerns. He struggled early in his career, and then he got healthy. And Steph has been pretty healthy throughout his career after struggling early on. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I think the physical tools are there. You question some of the athleticism. I think some of that is injury. But if this kid gets healthy, he has all the tools to be an elite player at the NBA level. And I think if you're getting him outside of the lottery, you're getting a hell of a, like, I think that's a steal, honest. And there's a lot weighing on that. If he doesn't ever get healthy, then you wasted, mid to late first round pick on somebody. But sometimes you just got to take a swing.
Yeah, especially if you're a team that has a little bit more time to wait on him. If you're a team that needs somebody to step in, which once you get out of the lottery, most of those teams probably are in that position where they have a little bit of time. They don't necessarily need him to step in and be great initially. That's a good spot because, again, he's a guy that I think could outperform where he's being drafted because talent-wise, the flashes, like you said, you see, he's definitely a top 10 player probably talent-wise in his draft. It's just can he get back to, like, some of the stuff that we saw in high school? Because offensively, man, I think he's going to be a bucket getter. Like, I could see him being an elite scorer. I mean, like I said, his shot is not the prettiest, but it works. I mean, he makes tough shots. I mean, you see guys – closing out on him, and he's just going up, putting it in their eye at times. So he definitely has the talent. There's no question about that, man. One season at Duke again, and I don't know if he was ever even close to 100%. Because he came in with a foot injury and then had a lower leg injury there, I think midseason, that he kind of played through. They thought he was going to be out, and he kind of played through it. So I don't think he was healthy at all. So you're correct on that, man. Because if you go back and look at his high school tape, you saw different stuff athletically than you saw at Duke. I mean, there were times at Duke where he had some kind of explosive dunks, but he just looked like he didn't have that same burst. And you just hope he can get that back, man, because if he gets that in his game, you add that back to his ISO scoring ability, I mean, you have a real player on your hands.
Yeah, 100%, man. Let's move on. I don't even know what time we started tonight. I know I struggled getting out of the gate, and it's been smooth sailing ever since. We're doing good. We got two guys left here to talk about. Let's move on to Isaac. I'll let you go with the next guy because I know that this is your boy.
Yeah, man. Grady Dick, 6'8", 195 pound, freshman small forward out of Kansas, 19 years old, 14.1 points, 5.1 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 1.4 steals. So you see the versatility there, man, just bringing you a lot in all aspects. But the number one aspect, obviously, 40.3% from three on six attempts per game, 83 of 206 overall. I know David will like this, 86% from the free throw line, man. So really a guy that's going to knock down free throws for you. As I said, man, knockdown shooter, like likely the best in this draft. I don't think there's a lot of question there. And one thing about Grady Dick, and not to bring the race thing into this, but people usually – and what the white guys is, they're just a shooter, don't bring anything else to the table. Especially when you're talking about guards and wings, they're usually guys that just shoot the basketball, don't really have the elite foot speed, so they struggle defensively. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Not a fantastic defender, not blessed with tremendous foot speed, but not a traffic cone on that in that area either. But like I said, man, knockdown shooter, likely the best in the draft. No wasted movement. He gets his shot off quick as a high release on his shot at 6'8", so it's kind of hard to defend. Fantastic movement off the ball, man. I love his off-the-ball movement. And one thing that he does well is he gets to his spots and he's ready for the pass almost always. Really good off screens. Shot 51.2% off pin downs, effective field goal percentage. Closeouts, like I said, don't really affect his shot. He'll put one in your eye, man. As far as shooting, man, he's absolutely elite. I think he's going to be elite three-point shooter and just brings spacing. He's going to bring a lot of spacing to whatever team that he ends up in, just super high IQ. He used the one dribble pull-up at the stop and does stick well. He does a one dribble pull-up and a little step-in for the jumper. If you close out on him defensively, he has that little dribble pull-up, and he'll step inside the arc and pull up for the mid-range jumper. Definitely has that kind of Desmond Bane, fly-by king, sidestep three in his bag. You saw a lot of that on film. Obviously drew a lot of attention at Kansas with his shooting ability. So when he was double-teamed, man, he did a really good job of passing out of that. When he draw a couple of defenders, he find cutters at the rim. And speaking of cutting, he does a really good job of cutting himself. He does a good job of cutting to the rim on dribble handoffs. When guys deny from the three-point line, he takes the handoff, cuts to the basket really well. Talking about defensively, I talked about that earlier. Not exactly blessed with loads of lateral quickness, but he makes up for it with his activity and IQ. He averaged 1.4 steals per game, mean, he has really quick hands, gets himself in the right spots. He just always seems to be in the right spot, and that kind of supersedes kind of his lateral quickness at times, man. He just takes great angles, always in the right spot. He's good at that kind of job and rant, poke from behind deflection. You saw a lot of that on film. Plays the passing lanes as well. As far as things that he should improve on, struggles in straight up one-on-one situations. I think that's something that's going to be a struggle at the next level, because he just doesn't have that elite kind of lateral quickness. So at times he's going to struggle there. He did get targeted a lot at Kansas. If you force him to guard in space or get him in a pick and roll, he does struggle there. Struggle to get over the top of ball screens and get back in front. He only took 2 shots in isolation all year. So as far as his shooting, that's not a strength of his. Not a guy that's going to give you tons of self-creation. I mean, he's a guy that kind of needs to be set up as far as his shots. So because he doesn't get a ton of separation, doesn't create a lot. And I think that's going to be a question at the next level. He's also not an elite athlete. I mean, you could see him, if he gets a runway, he could take off and dunk on you. He's not just a guy that doesn't have any athleticism, but he's not an elite athlete. But I love him, man, as a prospect. I just think his IQ is just super high, and his shooting ability is just off the charts. He can shoot the basketball so well that it just makes up for a lot of his deficiencies. And if you put him on the floor, man, he's going to bring super space into any team that he goes to, and he just plays so hard. I mean, just smart player. I think a winning basketball player, makes winning plays, coming from a great system at Kansas. I think he's going to be a really good player. He's one of my favorite prospects in the draft, and I'm a big fan of any guy that's 6'7", 6'8", above that can shoot the basketball. I like that size that he brings at 6'8". And again, man, I think being a Grizzlies fan and a guy that covers the Grizzlies so long, I'm a sucker for any guy that can shoot the basketball. And that's definitely something that Grady Dick can do, man. And I think he's going to be a player that sticks around this league for a long time, man, because that shooting ability, he's going to be able to do that. There's no question that he's going to bring this elite shooting ability to the NBA. That's definitely going to translate. And again, on the defensive end, not super blessed with elite split speed or anything like that, but he works super hard. Like, you kind of see that with a guy like Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard doesn't have that foot speed, but his IQ is so high that he just puts himself in right position, takes the right angles, and is just super smart, and he gets the most out of his ability. And I think you see the same thing with Grady Dick.
Yeah, man, you talk about a shooting, and that's one thing. Like, I'm glad you mentioned when you're reading stuff, or you know, you specifically when I see people on Twitter talking about Grady Dick, they seem to like pigeonhole him into a position
in that box. Yeah.
Where that's all that he is. But you talked about his ability when they're closing out too hard, his ability to, you know, take that one dribble pull up or get downhill. You know, he's not, I don't know that he'll ever be an elite finisher, but he has that ability. Like, if you close out too fast, he can take you off the dribble. Probably the most impressive thing that I saw on film from this kid is from the waist up, it doesn't matter if he's moving left, right, if it's a catch and shoot situation where he's, you know, like he's set up already coming off of a dribble handoff, no matter where he was at, body fading left or right, fading back, from the waist up, his form is the same every single time. Every time. Like, I think that you could overlay every shot that this could have took, and there would not be much variance in it at all. And that is what it takes to be an elite shooter. So many times on film, you see him moving, cutting, getting to, you know, you talk about Luke Kennard and his ability to just kind of find, you know, you don't have to create a ton of separation. You just have to be in the right spot to get that shot off. And Grady Dick does that time and time and time again. So the only question is he going to be a good enough defender at the NBA level? And I think the question of that is yes, man. Or the answer to that question is yes. I think that he showed at Kansas that, you know, yeah, he's not going to be your lockdown wing defender night in and night out. But you can put him out there, and he's not going to be a guy that's just tied down into one place. It gets killed every time that his man gets the ball, or that offenses are bringing his man to screen so they can get a switch to exploit him. Because of that size, because of that length, he's able to defend guys at a higher level than what you would expect initially. And I don't know. I wouldn't say not a playmaker. Like, he's not a playmaker, but his ability to get his own shot, I don't think that he gets enough credit. Just look at guys that are in the NBA that are able to score without doing a ton. Klay Thompson is a guy that comes to mind. You know, Klay Thompson is not great off of the, like, he's not a guy that's going to tear you down with an elite handle, but his skills are good enough that if you close out too fast on him, he can go off of the dribble to create that space. And Grady Dick does a lot of the same things in getting downhill. And, you know, you talk about the shot fake for the flyby and knockdown three. There are a lot of tools in his game. And that's why he is, you know, I don't think I've seen him anywhere past probably 10 or 11 in this draft, because the skills that he has, the shooting is absolutely elite, and the rest of his tools are enough that, okay, this kid is going to be able to play at the next level. I'm just kind of interested to see where he ends up falling, because there are a lot of teams, you know,
Utah,
Utah at nine,
write it in Sharpie. Yeah. Write it in Sharpie. Yeah. Unless he goes higher than that. Unless somebody thinks I'm higher than that. He's not getting past Utah at nine. I guarantee you that.
I will say this, man, looking at the top 10 picks, the place where I would love to see him go is Indiana.
Yeah, because, that'd be a good spot for him.
You know, you have Tyrese Halliburton, who can be, like, he is a number one option, but Tyrese Halliburton doesn't mind passing the ball, and you get him a weapon. Like, you know, they've already got Buddy Hield, but you get him more shooters there, dude. It's just going to be, crazy season. I think he fits well in Indiana. I'm always scared about staying Washington because I don't know what they're going to do, but they got guys that are good playmakers there. You know, I hope that he's not on the board at 10, because he's a guy that would be good with Luka.
I don't want to see him there. No, please don't go to Dallas.
Yeah. So, like, as long as he's off the board by 10, I'm good with it.
Yeah, man. And you talked about it. What I love about him, and I said it earlier, is no wasted movement. Like, he's always moving on both ends of the floor. He's working hard. Like, he's working hard to get to his spots. He's always, I mean, he makes it easy for a playmaker, a point guard, like you talk about Halliburton, because he's going to be where he needs to be. I mean, he comes down the court, he gets to the corners, he gets to his spot, he's waiting for the pass. He's always there. And that's the thing. I think he's going to be a double-digit scorer. A lot of the guys are like shooting. They look at him as being like shooting specialists, and they might be able to give you 6-7 points off the bench. I think he's going to be much more than that. I could see him being a guy that averages 14-15 points. I just think his shooting ability is so elite. And like you said, he can get to the basket. I don't know if he's going to be an elite finisher or anything like that, but he's super smart. I mean, and he gets good shots. And that's the reason why I think he's going to be able to score. And you get him with a good point guard, a guy that's a willing passer. And that's why you say it, like Luka, man, I think he played really well off of Luka. Anybody that's going to give him the basketball when he gets to his spots, because he's going to knock down those shots. I'm just a big, big fan of his, man. Whoever gets him, I think, is going to get a really, really good basketball player. He's just, again, high IQ, and just makes winning plays. The same thing I say about Luke Kennard. That's why I like him so much, because even though he's not blessed as much physically, he's going to give you everything he can. He's going to get the maximum out of what he has to give, and he's going to knock down shots, man, if you give him the basketball. So that's why I like him as a prospect. He's one of my favorite prospects in the draft, but I don't see him getting past nine at Utah. I think if he's on the board, Utah takes him there. If he goes higher than that, man, shout out to whoever gets him, man. Because again, I think he has almost zero bust potential in my mind, because the shooting ability is just elite. Like, he's the best shooter in this draft, and there's no question that that's going to translate to the next level.
Guys like that always find a way to get it done at the next level. Guys that can, man, just some movement, man. I mentioned like that, regardless of what his legs look like, waist up, he's square, his frame is smooth, really, like he's going to be fine at the next level. And Utah has, they were better this year than I think everybody expected them to be. And, you know, they just need to add talent. And
I think Hart is a really good coach too. Young coach. I think Boston messed up, man. He was already going to Utah when that Udoka stuff went down, and Mazzulla ain't it, man. I know it's been 1 year, and I've been talking about that on Twitter, and it's kind of a polarizing situation. Not to kind of get off topic here, I think they got to let him go, man. And they gave him an extension. I think they jumped the gun. He was like their fourth assistant. He wasn't even a front row assistant. Hardy left for Utah. David Stoudemire left and took another college job, and they just kind of handed the keys to Mazzulla. And I don't think he's ready. Like, you watch, I mean, they went to the finals last year. I think on paper the roster is definitely better. They lost a lot of games to bad teams this year, and I think he's gotten out coached throughout the playoffs. I mean, they lost two games to Atlanta, almost got forced to a 7-game there. Atlanta put a lot of pressure on them, and that shouldn't have happened, man. You look at that roster, that's like the best roster in the league, and you look at Miami, they're missing Tyler Hero, they're missing Victor Oladipo. They shouldn't be getting beat the way they are against that Miami team. I don't think they're down 3-0 if Udoka's still the coach. I just don't think he's ready. His timeout usage has been bad. He's mismanaged the game, and he even admitted pretty much after the game out loud that he's lost the locker room, which is insanity to me. I couldn't believe he said that out loud. So that's a weird situation, man, that they just handed him the stick and gave him the keys, took the interim tag off, gave him an extension. I don't think he's the guy going forward. I think it's hard to bring him back because they got to do something. They got to make roster changes significantly, or they got to get rid of him. And I don't know what's going to happen in Boston, man, because it felt like this was supposed to be their year, and it's not going to be. So that's a weird situation. But sorry to get off subject there.
And don't say it's not going to be. It ain't over till it's over. It ain't like they.
Man,
It's the first of four.
They quit. They look like they quit in their last game to me. I think they're got their reservation booked for Cancun, man. I think they get swept.
They ready to get in the sun.
Huh? Yeah, they ready to pack it up, man. Jason Tatum, like, they took about a game, the way he was looking on that bench, he looked checked out, man. I don't think they got it, man. And shout out to Jimmy, man. I mean, he's just been on another level of these playoffs. It's crazy what that Miami team was doing. I tweeted out yesterday, thinking back to my thoughts on that Miami team during the regular season, I can't believe that team is on the verge of going to the finals. Like, it's amazing, because I didn't really have a high opinion of them at all during the regular season. I mean, they didn't even look like a team that was going to make the playoffs, and they're one game away from the finals. And I know people are going to take Denver, but I'm tired of counting that Miami team out. I'm not going to count them out if it ends up being Miami and Denver. Lakers look like they might be on the way to forcing a game five tonight, but you think Denver's going to end up coming out of there. Because Miami and Denver, man, I know people are going to say Denver easily, but I'm not counting out Jimmy Butler, man, what we've seen in this playoffs.
If you don't give Bam Adebayo some credit, man, Bam has been playing his ass off in that series, bro. But I know what Jimmy's doing is crazy.
Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, man, have been.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? It's nuts that they're there for sure. And there's talent on that team. They're missing some guys. And I know, I don't know if they make it to the finals, if there's a chance that Hero comes back. But the way
they're saying he is, but I don't know, man. They might be better without him. Maybe that's, because you kind of look at these games, maybe he kind of takes something away. I know he's a really good player, but he can be inefficient. At the time, mm-hmm. he takes a lot of shots, and maybe they're better without him. And that's what the kind of thought is in Miami. A lot of people are saying that maybe they don't need him to come back. It's hard to say you don't want a guy to come back averaging like 20 points a game, but it just seems like they might be better without him. Because, I mean, they've just been awesome, and Jimmy's just been giving it to him. I mean, Grant Williams fired him up the other night, man. Poked the bear, as they said, with Dylan Brooks and LeBron James.
I'm so sick of that damn term.
Poked the bear, man. And yeah. Jimmy went on him, man. That ain't the guy you want to mess with. He was already on one, man, and he just set him up there, just put a battery pack in him, man. He just went off on him, man, gave him bucket out the bucket. So I've been enjoying watching that, man. If I had to pick anybody, I think I'm pro Miami, man. I'd like to see Jimmy get it done. Just what he's been able to do for a team that wasn't expected to get there. I'm always for the underdog because us here in Memphis, man, we're never at the top of the list of teams that they're going to give credit. So I'm always kind of for that underdog team. And I think that's definitely what Miami is in this situation.
Yeah, 100%. Let's kind of reel it back in. We got off track a little bit there. We were just talking about Grady Dick. We're going to finish. We go from the best shooter in the draft to one that that's probably one of the biggest question marks, right?
Yeah.
Like Anthony Black, 6'7" guard out of Arkansas. You look at his numbers, 12.8 points, 5.1 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 45% from the field, 30% from three, 71% free throw shooter. The 30% from three was on 2.6 attempts per game. So not high volume. I think
he 28 was 93 overall.
He was respectable enough that teams had to not leave him open. But I think that he is probably outside of Scoot. He's probably the most true point guard in the upper echelon of this draft, right? Like you have Amen Thompson, who is a guard. Like there's no doubt about it. His passing ability, we've talked about him. I'm not going to go back into that. But I think that Black is a guy, like his guard skills are comparable to almost anybody in this draft. The one thing that you have to question with him is because of that low 3-point shooting, is he a guy that's going to be able to develop that enough to be a true threat in the NBA to space the floor, to make the, you know, because if you don't have to respect his 3-point shot and you sag off of him, I talked about this with Amen Thompson. You know, if Ben Simmons is not as good as he was his first two seasons because the teams are like, psh, hey, let him shoot a three. Please, for the love of God, shoot a three. And that so they sag off of him, and it takes away his ability to use his elite playmaking skills. And so guys like Amen Thompson, guys like Anthony Black, they're going to have to find ways to make teams guard them to open up the floor so they can use their elite playmaking abilities. The thing is, when you look at a guy, we're looking at this Arkansas team, right? And you're looking Anthony Black, you got Jordan Walsh. Who's the kid that hurt his leg? Like stupid athletes. Is it like Travion Brazil?
Yeah.
They had four or more NBA level talent guys on that team this year. And I think it's tough to truly say when you're playing for a loaded college program and you look at the volume and you're like, okay, what's this kid going to do at the next level? You know, 9 field goal attempts a game. That's not a lot. If he was at a different program where he was like the top choice.
Oh, he's averaging 20 points easily. Yeah. I think on a team that we beat the guy.
Yeah, I've seen people kind of be, oh, well, he only averaged 13 points a game. Yeah, but he was on a loaded team at Arkansas, man. And again, we talk about size in this draft, 6'7" plus wingspan. I think that he has the ability to be a good defender too. So like he's not going to have the strength. He is a guard at 6'7". You're like, oh, well, maybe he can guard 1 through 4. I don't think that he's going to be able to guard 1 through 4, but I think that he easily guards 1 through 3.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down.
Like, I think that that's something, the versatility on defense, because a lot of times you look at point guards across this league, and it's like, okay, which point guards are elite defenders? And the list of that is very, very short. I think that Black can be an elite defender. My only concern about him, I think that all of the skills that he has are going to be able to translate to the NBA level, but he's going to have to, if he doesn't knock down threes, he's going to have an elite mid-range game to keep these teams honest, to be able to use his best skill, which is his elite passing.
Yeah, man, I love him as a prospect. It's just that that shooting ability is going to be the question. I mean, that 30%, he was 28 of 93 overall from three, with three attempts a game. So not a super high sample size. And a lot of times, a lot of these guys have, I mean, most of these prospects don't have great three-point shooting numbers. So you hope there's some upside there. I think there's going to have to be, or he's going to have to really develop that mid-range game. Kind of same thing we're saying with John Morant, and we're still year after year five saying that same thing, and it hasn't happened yet, even though he's so elite in other areas. He's still able to be awesome, but he still needs to add to this game, because you see at times where teams kind of force him into that, and he struggles. And that's something that Anthony Black's definitely going to have to work on at the next level, but I love everything else about him. Like you said, versatility. Love the fact that he's 6'7". I think he can guard the 1-3, and I think his defensive potential is there. I mean, he averaged 2 steals per game, and he loves to apply pressure. On ball potential, I think, for me, is off the charts. I mean, he uses that length and quickness really well. He's super versatile. I think he'll be able to guard the 1-3. I think if he's able to put on some weight, like 195, I think there are going to be some situations where he can guard small ball fours eventually, because I think he's going to get bigger and stronger. I think he does have room to kind of fill out his frame. One thing I noticed on tape, he's a good shot blocker for a guy's size. I saw a decent amount of perimeter blocks that he had. It's something that you don't see a lot. I saw that on film. He has really quick hands. He gets deflections on the ball. In the passing lane, creates a lot of live ball turnovers. He does a good job of defending without fouling, stays vertical, high IQ on both ends, passes the basketball really well, really has the ability to read the defense. I mean, when you see him come down, he's really deliberate in what he does on both ends. Like, he doesn't take a long time to, like, kind of make decisions. He reads the defense, and he decides whether he wants to try to score himself or facilitate, get his teammates involved. I mean, so the IQ is there, man. You see that on film. He can finish at the rim with both hands, and he's hard to defend at the basket because of his strength. I mean, he's strong. Even though he's 6'7", 195, he's wiry strong. He's pretty strong. He doesn't shy away from contact, and he finishes through contact at the rim. As I said, he's extremely, extremely patient on the offensive end, man. He just makes really good decisions. He's not a guy that's gonna just make a lot of mistakes. Not a great shooter, like we said, and I think that's gonna be the question, whether his shooting ability will allow him to do some of the other things that he does well, and that's what he's gonna have to improve on. I mean, he only shot 30% from three, and he went 19 of 40 for 32.2% on catch and shoot looks. And that's just not going to cut it as a guard on the next level. And his shot is kind of wonky, man. It's stiff. It's not a lot of rhythm to it. It's kind of square. And I think that's his shot mechanics need some work. I think that's one of the reasons why he doesn't shoot the basketball well. There's definitely going to be some work done there. If he gets into it with a good coach, he's going to need to work on that. So teams went under a lot on him and sag off a lot of them. You kind of mentioned that, and I think that's definitely going to be something that happens more in the league if he doesn't improve there. Did average 3 turnovers a game, which is a pretty high number, but I think a lot of that possibly had to do with a lot of it was when he drove left. I noticed that when he drove left, he turned the ball over a lot, and I think some of that kind of had to do with the spacing. Even though they had 4, like, NBA-level guys on their team, I watched Arkansas a significant amount last year. Their spacing on that team was not good. And again, a lot of that has to do with most of those guys weren't really good shooters, not a lot of floor spacers on that team. So I think a lot of those turnovers was due to that. But I love him as a prospect, man. There's a reason why he's a lottery pick. I mean, defensively, I think he's a guy that his defense is really going to translate. It's just all about that shooting. Can he develop that three-point shot? If he could, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be a lead three-point shooter, but can you get that 35-36%. He shot 30 in college. I think if he can get it around there, he's going to be great and develop that mid-range game. Continue to do that, because that'll unlock everything else he does. But everything else outside of the shooting is there. And you see why on film he's considered to be a lead prospect, and he's going as high. And people talk about that 12.8 points a game. I mean, when you got that kind of talent on the team, that's going to happen. If you put him on a team where he was the guy, like you see a lot of these guys on a lot of teams, like we talk about, like guys like G.G. Jackson, Trevon Smith that we talked about earlier, man, messing my words up there, that we talked about earlier, kind of being the only guy on those teams, he averaged 20 points easily. There's no question about it. So I'm not worried about that 13 points a game at all, man. guys that look at that, they're just not watching the film, man. He has more scoring potential than that, man. It's just, can he get the shooting down? And I think that's going to be the question going to the next level. But I love him as a prospect. So a lot of things that I like on film, and his defensive potential for me is something that I think that's really going to be a high-level trait that translates to the next level for him.
Yeah, yeah, I agree, man. You talked about his ability to block shots. You go back to their conference tournament against A&M, and they ended up losing that game, but he was working his butt off in that game. He ends the game with 4 blocks and 2 steals. I had a terrible day from the field, man. It just had 9 points, but it's there's a lot to like about this kid. There's a reason that he is near the top of this draft, but I think that he has enough tools that his floor, it's hard to say, right? Like, oh, well, their floor is here when you're looking, you're breaking down prospects. But I think worst case scenario, because of what he can do on the defensive end of the floor, he's going to find playing time in the NBA. When you can go out there and you can play defense at the level that he does, teams find a way to get you on the floor. And I don't want to, you know, he's obviously too young to say, oh, this is all that he's going to be at the next level. But I think worst case scenario for him is he's an elite defender at the NBA level.
Yeah, and I love guys that can play on and off the ball, and he's definitely a guy that can do that. So I love that versatility, man. I just hope he can get that shooting down, because I think if he does that, man, he can be a really, really good player in this league, like a really good player. And you can play him in different lineups. I mean, depending on what team he goes to, you can play him with all kind of different types of guys. That's what I like about him when I talk about that versatility. So I'm a big fan of his, man. Again, I watched a lot of that Arkansas team this season, and I just think you had a lot of different guys, high level talented guys on that team. I don't think the spacing was all that great on that team. I think he has the potential to be a better player on the NBA level than he was at the college level, man, if he could develop some of those skills that we talked about.
Yeah, yep, for sure. Well, guys, we appreciate you tuning in. You got anything else on Black before we get out of here, man?
No, man, I think we got it covered.
Yeah, so we're going to have more. We'll be back later on in the week. I would love to tell you what day, man, but it seems like every time we're like, we're going to be back on this day, something happens. And we're not able to get back on that day.
Yeah, we're going to get it in at some point this week.
Yeah, yeah. We will get you another episode later on this week with 4 to 5 more prospects. We appreciate you guys tuning in. The show is on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at NBA D-Will 21. Our other co-host who hasn't been with us throughout this draft process, she will be back. Again, when we finish the draft talk, we're going to go over report cards. Looking forward to that. I've been working on that for the Grizzlies roster. And I think some of the grades are going to kind of surprise you. There's some guys, maybe you'll say I'm the mean one. I don't know, but that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to get our grades together, and then we're going to have a cumulative grade between the three. So Candace is the co-host that I'm referring to. She is at Candace H901. She is gone right now, but not forgotten. She will be back as soon as we get through with the draft stuff. Isaac's going to let you know where you can find him, and then we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, man, definitely looking forward to that, man. Get back to some Grizz talk. Talk about the draft right now. Love that. Like, as we talk about, man, one of our favorite times of the year, man, love breaking down these prospects and bringing you information on these different prospects that you might not – guys that you might not know a lot about, guys that you haven't followed, man. Really enjoy bringing these type of podcasts over the summer. We've been doing this for a few years now, man, and look forward to it every year. Not that I want the Grizzlies to be out, because we're hoping that they play in the June every year, and hopefully that's in our future coming up, and we get to start a draft prospect and our draft pods later that we have. So that would be a lot of fun. But thanks to everybody for tuning in. Again, as David said, you can get the show at Ethos Grizzlies. Go over there and give us a like and a follow. You can find me on Twitter at Isaac_NBA. That's ISAAC_NBA. Again, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll be back with another episode breaking down 5 more prospects later in the week. So be on the lookout for that. So next time, here we go.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.